Of course you don't. She gives me a bored look. It's beneath you, right? That's not what I said. I don't think less of my sister because of her job. She feeds and clothes her kid. She swallowed her pride and did what she had to do, and I love her for it. But, and I would never say this to her face, it's not a career she would have picked for herself if she'd had other choices. And I'm not out of choices yet. Cam has been dancing at the Hook since she was 18. At first, it was just a temporary job to get through her boyfriend leaving her and to support their son. But juggling college and her child became too much, and eventually she quit school. It was the plan to get on track once Killian started kindergarten, but that'll be soon, and I don't think she has immediate plans to quit anytime soon. She's gotten used to the money. And nearly a year ago, her boss offered me a job bartending there, and she's been on my ass to take it ever since. I could make more than enough to support myself, after all, and maybe not have to take out so many student loans either. A few years, and that's it, she'd said. I'd be out. But I know bartending is just the job her boss gets girls to take while he works them over to get them to start dancing on stage, and I'm not doing that. I'm not watching my sister do that every night either. My body is private. It's personal to me and whom I want to show it to. I'll stay at Grounders, thank you. I'm fine where I am, I tell her. I got this. She sighs. All right, she says, giving up for now. Just be prepared if this doesn't work out, okay? This, meaning Cole and me living in his father's house. I move around her to pull some lemonade out of the fridge and suddenly hear the low rumble of an engine growing closer. I stop, peering toward the window, and see the corner of a black truck pull into the driveway. The same 71 Chevy Cheyenne I rode in after the movie the other night to get Cole at the police station. My heart thumps in my chest, but I ignore it and quickly close the fridge. His father's home, I tell her, grabbing her purse on the counter and shoving it at her. You need to go.
Why?
Because this isn't my house, I bite out, pushing her toward the laundry room and the back door. At least let me wait a week before I impose on his space with all my friends.
I'm your sister.
I hear a car door slam. I keep pushing her out toward the back, but she's digging in her heels.
And you better keep me posted, she says. I'm not letting you let some beer-bellied, middle-aged pervert who was only too happy to let a hot pair of teenage thighs move into his house start demanding a little extra from his new tenant.
Shut up! But I can't help laughing a little. Yeah, he's not beer-bellied, middle-aged, or a pervert. I don't think, anyway. She turns around, jabbing me in the stomach playfully and lowering her voice to a deep, husky tone.
Come on, honey.
She squirms up to me, trying to wrap her arms around me seductively.
Time to work off your rent, baby.
Shut up! I whisper yell, laughing and trying to nudge her out of the kitchen. God, you're embarrassing. Get out!
Don't be scared,
she continues, pretending she's some creepy old guy as she slobbers up her lips and tries to get a kiss from me.
Little girls take care of their daddies.
And she mock thrusts into me, jutting out what beer belly she can muster with her 22-inch waist. Stop it, I plead, flaming with embarrassment. She paws me up and down my hips, smiling as I try to shove her out of the kitchen. But then she stops suddenly, her face falling and her eyes focused on something. Or someone behind me. I close my eyes for a moment. Great. Turning around, I see Cole's father standing in the entryway between the living room and the kitchen, paused and staring at us. Heat rises up my neck at the sight of him again. I hear my sister suck in a breath, and I move away from her, clearing my throat. I don't think he heard anything. At least, I hope not. His eyes dart between us and finally come to rest on me. His short hair is just a little messy, and I can see the sweat from his workday still dampening the sides and the 5 o'clock shadow coming in across his jaw. Black marks scuff his forearms, and the tendons in his tanned hands flex
as he grips his tool belt and lunch container. He inhales a deep breath and moves forward, setting his things on the island.
All moved in?
He asks me, running a hand through his hair. I nod. Yeah, I blurt out. I mean, yes. My heart is doing that thing again where it feels like it's riding on ocean waves inside my chest, and I can't remember what I'm supposed to be doing. So I just nod again, blinking until my sister comes into view at my side and I finally remember what's going on. Pike, Mr. Lawson, I correct myself. Sorry, this is my sister, Cam. I gesture to her, and she was just leaving. He glances over at her.
Hi.
And then, to my surprise, his gaze moves back to me for a moment before he sees the mail on the counter and begins flipping through it like we're not even here. I blink, slightly confused. Cam's a carnival ride. She might be younger than him, but she's certainly a woman, and most men let their eyes linger on her, her long legs, and the perky and expensive handful she has under that tank top. He doesn't. Yeah, nice to meet you, she says back. Thanks for taking her in. He spares us a quick glance and half smile before taking all the envelopes and stuffing them in a mail holder. Cam starts to walk out of the kitchen, and I follow her as she enters the laundry room. Once she's out of his line of sight, she spins around, mouthing to me, "Oh my God," with a mischievous gleam in her wide eyes. I clench my jaw, jerking my chin to keep her moving. She's going to be over here every other day flirting with him now. I hear Pike behind me opening one of the ovens, and I turn around. I was making dinner, I tell him, for the three of us. Is that okay? He closes the oven, and I see a hint of relief on his face.
Yeah, that's great, actually. He sighs. Thank you. I'm starving.
It'll just be 15 more minutes. He reaches into the refrigerator and pulls out a Corona, sticking the cap under an opener nailed under the island, and pulls the top off, the cap dropping into the trash.
Enough time for a shower, he replies, glancing down at us. Excuse me.
And then he walks out of the kitchen, the bottle hanging from his fingers as he clears the entryway by only half a foot. I pause, it hitting me how tall he is again. This is a good-sized house, too, but it will be impossible to not notice him in a room.
Now I get it, my sister whispers a taunt in my ear. And here I was, worried you'd be suffering unwanted advances from a sweaty old fat fart.
Shut up. I close my eyes in exasperation. I hear the back door open, and humor laces her voice as she teases.
You take care of your men now.
I whirl around to slam the door closed in her face, but she squeals, pulling it shut before I have a chance.
Oh, I don't like onions.
I stop at Pike's words and stare down at the barbecue sauce drizzled all over my onion ring stacked masterpieces. They're an Instagram post just waiting to happen. If I take off the beautiful golden onions, it'll just be a Pinterest fail.
Try a bite, I venture with a timid smile. You'll like this, I promise.
In my experience, men will eat what's in front of them. He seems to think about it for a moment and then closes the fridge and meets my gaze. His expression softens.
Okay.
He probably feels like he owes me a bite since I made dinner, so I'll take it. Topping the burger, I hand him the plate, and he carries it over to a stool, taking a bite before he even sits down. I spare a glance over my shoulder. His jaw stops moving, and he blinks a few times, the muscles in his cheeks flexing. And then I hear a groan. I turn back around to the stove so he can't see my smile.
That's good, actually, he says. Really good.
I just nod, but I feel a small pinch of pride. When you eat cheap growing up, I tell him, you find your own ways of adding a little gourmet to it. He doesn't say anything for a few seconds, but follows with a quiet,
yeah.
I'm not sure if that means he's just listening attentively or agreeing with me. If he's found out my last name, he must know who my father is. Everyone in town knows Chip Hadley, so he would have an idea of how we lived. I don't know much about Cole's family, though, or if they've always lived in this place. Pike Lawson isn't wealthy, but he's certainly not poor by the looks of his house.
It's really good. I mean it, he says again.
Thanks. I turn around and place a plate on the island perpendicular to his seat for Cole and my own at the stool next to that one. We fall silent, and I wonder if he feels weird too. We talked so easily the other night when we didn't know who the other one was, but it's changed now. I hear movement from the living room and glance around to see Cole coming into the kitchen. I smile. He has grease all over his shirt already and a streak under his lip. He can misbehave like it's his job, but he can also flaunt some boyish charm like nobody's business. He grabs the hamburger off his plate in one hand and tucks some dirty, rusted car part under his arm, tipping his chin at me.
Hey, babe, we're working on your VW. You don't mind if I eat outside, do you?
I stare at him. Is he serious? I shoot my eyes between him and his father.
Yes,
I reply quietly, trying to say more with my eyes. I don't want to eat alone with his dad.
Come on,
Cole cocks his head, trying to work me with his playful expression.
I can't just leave them out there. You could come and sit outside with us.
Gee, thanks. I purse my lips and turn back to the refrigerator, yanking out the pitcher of lemonade. It's rude to just leave. His father's not our meal ticket. I should make some effort to get to know him. But before I can tell Cole to just go and eat outside, his father speaks up.
Why don't you sit down for 10 minutes? I haven't seen you in a while.
Relief hits me, and I'm thankful for the backup. I finally hear Cole release a breath, and the legs of one of the island stools scrape across the tile as he takes a seat in front of his plate. I make sure the oven is off, grab my drink, and follow Cole's father as he sits down, leaving the seat between him and Cole empty. I take it, reaching over the island and pulling my plate to me.
So, how's work?
Mr. Lawson asks, and I assume he's talking to Cole. Cole's right hand finds my thigh as he uses his left to lift the burger to his mouth, and I glance at his father, seeing his eyes downcast and looking at Cole's hand on me. His jaw flexes as he looks back up.
It's work,
Cole shrugs.
It's a lot easier now that the weather has warmed up, though.
Cole's been doing road construction since we moved in together about 9 months ago. He's gone through a lot of jobs since I've known him, but this one has lasted.
Thinking any more about college? His dad probes.
But Cole just scoffs.
It took everything I had to finish high school, you know that.
I raise the lemonade to my lips and take a sip, my stomach tight and not wanting food at the moment. Cole's father chews and sets his burger down, lifting his bottle next.
Time moves a lot faster than you think it will,
he replies quietly, almost to himself.
I almost joined the Navy when I found out.
But he trails off, finishing instead.
When I was 18.
But I think I know what he was going to say. When I found out I was going to be a dad. Pike Lawson doesn't look old enough to be the father of a grown son, so he had to have been pretty young when Cole was born. No more than 18 or 19 himself, which would put him at 38, give or take.
I just couldn't wrap my head around the fact that I was giving up 7 years of my life, he goes on. But 7 years came and went pretty fast. Securing a good future takes an investment and a commitment, Cole, but it's worth it. Was it for you?
His son shoots back, tearing off a bite of burger, his hand lightly squeezing the inside of my thigh. It's a subtle gesture I actually love despite the building tension in the room. It's his way of letting me know he might be angry, but he's not angry with me, and he hates that I'm probably uncomfortable right now. Cole's father takes a drink from his bottle and calmly sets it back down, his tone now harder.
Well, I've had the money to bail you out of jail, he points out. Last time.
and the time before that. Cole's hand tightens around my thigh, and my neck is so hot all of a sudden that I wish I had a hair tie. 1,000 questions whirl around my head. Why don't they get along? What happened? Cole's dad seems okay, from what little I know about him. But Cole has erected a wall between them, and his dad is almost as short of a fuse as his son. Cheeseburger in hand, Cole shoves his plate away from him and pushes his chair back, standing up.
I'm eating outside, he says, releasing my leg. Come join us if you want, babe, and leave the dishes. I'll do them in a bit.
I open my mouth to speak, but stop myself, clenching my teeth instead.
Well, this is going to be fun.
Cole turns and walks out of the room, and moments later, I hear the front door slam shut. Muffled voices carry in from outside, and a horn honks down the street, but it's suddenly so quiet in the kitchen that I stop breathing. Hopefully, Pike Lawson will forget I'm here. How in the hell am I supposed to live here? I can't take sides if they're going to do this. But Pike speaks up, softening his voice.
It's okay,
he says, and I see him turn his head toward me out of the corner of my eye.
You can join him if you want.
I turn my head, meet his eyes, and fix him with a closed-lipped smile as I shrug. It's hot out, I tell him. I'm already burning up with the tension in here. Besides, Cole's friends aren't my friends, and outside won't be any better.
I'm sorry about that, he says, picking up his burger again. It won't happen a lot. Cole's good about avoiding anywhere I am.
I nod, not knowing what else to say. I have a gut feeling I won't be here long anyway. I already feel like I'm on a tightrope. I force myself to eat, because this won't taste this good as leftovers tomorrow. Music drifts in from outside. The rumble of a lawnmower sparks to life in the distance, and the scent of grass hits the back of my throat as it wafts through the open windows, the simple tan curtains of Pike's house billowing in the breeze coming in. Chills spread down my arms. Summer. A phone rings, and I see Pike reach over and grab his cell off the counter.
Hey, he says.
A man's voice grumbles on the other end, but I can't hear what he's saying. Pike gets up, carrying his plate to the sink with one hand and holding the phone with the other, and I steal glances while he's distracted. Cam's teasing about him keeps coming back to me, warming my cheeks. But it's not like that. Pike's kind of a mystery. I saw pictures of Cole in the living room, as a baby and as a kid, but other than that, his house doesn't have a lot of his father in it. I know he's a single guy, but there's no coffee table books displaying his interests, no souvenirs from vacations, no pets, no art, no knickknacks, no magazines, no paraphernalia indicating his hobbies like sports, gaming, or music. It's a beautiful home, but it's like a showcase house where a family doesn't really live.
No, I need another digger and at least 100 more bags of cement, he tells the guy, tucking the phone between his shoulder and ear and pulling up his sleeves more as he turns on the water.
I smile to myself. He's doing the dishes. Without being asked? I heave a sigh and rise from my seat. I guess he normally does live alone after all. Who else would do them? He chuckles at something the guy says and shakes his head as I scrape off my plate into the garbage.
Tell that idiot I know he's not sick, he says into the phone. And if he doesn't get off whomever he's on by morning, I'll come and get him myself. I want to stay ahead of schedule.
I come up beside him and quietly set my dishes down on the counter before putting the lemonade and condiments back in the fridge.
Yeah, yeah.
I hear him as he rinses off plates and puts them in the dishwasher.
Okay, I'll see you in the morning.
He hangs up and puts the phone down, and I cast another quick glance at him. Work? I inquire. He nods, swishing water in a glass and dumping it out.
Always. We're putting up an office building off 22 right before you reach the state park.
He looks at me.
No matter how much you plan and budget, there are always surprises that try to throw you off track, you know?
Highway 22. Same road I take to get out to classes at Doral. I must have passed his worksite lots of times. Nothing ever goes according to plan, I muse. Even at my age, I know that by now. He laughs, the corners of his mouth turning up in a grin as he looks over at me.
Exactly.
I suddenly falter, deja vu hitting me. For a moment, I see the guy in the theater again. I blink, trying to look away. His hazel eyes look greener under the light fixture hanging overhead. His hair has dried from his shower, and all of a sudden he looks more like Cole's older brother than his dad. I tear my eyes away from his smile, just catching a glimpse of the cords in his arm that are flexing as he works in the sink. I snatch up my phone off the counter and turn to leave, but then remember something.
May I have your phone number?
I twist back around and ask. Like, in case there's a problem here or I lose my key or something? He looks at me over his shoulder, his hands still in the water.
Oh, right.
He shuts off the faucet and grabs a towel, drying himself.
Good idea, here.
He grabs his phone and unlocks the screen, handing it to me.
Put yours in mine, too, then.
I give him my phone and take his, entering in my first name and my cell number. I'm glad I remembered, actually. Anything could go wrong with the house. The basement could flood, packages could be delivered that aren't mine. I might not be able to handle dinner on one of Cole's and my nights and need to alert him. This isn't my place where I get to make all the decisions anymore. I give his back, and he hands me mine, but music starts playing for mine, and he does a double take at my screen. My music app must have been up, and he accidentally hit something. Shit. George Michael's father figure starts playing, and his eyebrows shoot up as the suggestive chorus starts. My mouth goes dry, the lyrics registering. I snatch the phone back and turn it off. He breathes out a laugh.
Awesome.
Then he straightens, clearing his throat.
80s music, huh?
I run my fingers through my hair, sliding the phone into my back pocket. Yeah, I wasn't kidding. After a moment, I look back up and see him staring at me, the hint of a smile in his eyes. His gaze flashes to the side, and he bends over, picking up one of the Home and Garden magazines I didn't realize had dropped from my bag at the kitchen table.
And it's Pike, he says, handing me the magazine. Not Mr. Lawson, okay?
He's standing so close, and my stomach flips, unable to look at him. I take the magazine and nod, unable to meet his eyes. He turns back to his task, and I turn to walk away but stop and look back at him.
You don't have to do that, you know, I tell him, referring to the dishes.
Cole said he would. I see his body shake with a laugh, and then he bends down to drop some silverware into the dishwasher before glancing over at me.
I was 19 once too, he replies. In a bit means eventually. And eventually doesn't mean tonight.
I snort, my shoulders easing a little.
True.
I don't know how many times I woke up the next morning to a sink full of dishes. Of course, it wouldn't make me happier with Cole if his father was carrying his weight with the chores, but I brush it off as not my problem. As long as I don't have to do it. Thank you, I say, quickly darting over to the fridge for a bottle of water to take with me. But then a thought occurs to me. Do you have any other kids? I ask. I guess I need to know if there will be other people coming in or out of the house. But when I look over, I see his jaw tense and his brow furrowed, looking a little too serious.
I think Cole would tell you if he had siblings, wouldn't he?
Against my will, my spine instantly straightens. His tone is chastising. Of course Cole would tell me if he had siblings. I've known him for long enough. Right, I reply in a rush, shaking my head like I was in a fog, and that was why I'd asked such a dumb question.
Besides, I've never been married, he adds, his Adam's apple moving up and down. Having multiple kids from multiple women wasn't a mistake I wanted to keep making.
I remain still, watching him and kind of feeling bad. Cole was completely unplanned and, even to a small degree, unwanted by his teenage parents. Some of the mystery of their poor relationship starts to come into focus. But I also appreciate his pragmatism.
It didn't take a young Pike Lawson long to learn that making babies with just anyone wasn't what was right for him. That was a consequence I never wanted to experience, not even once. He seems to realize what he'd said, and how it probably sounded, because he stops and looks over at me, thinning his eyes in an apology.
I didn't mean it like that.
I know what you meant. It's okay. I jerk my thumb behind me and back away. I'm gonna go study. I'm taking a few credits this summer, so... night. He turns back, loading the dishwasher with soap and starting the machine. Thank you, again, for letting us stay here, I say. He glances at me.
Thank you for dinner.
And before I leave, I step over to the table where I left a scented candle burning. I should have asked him about that. He might not like frilly scents in his house. Leaning over the table, I close my eyes, take in a breath, and make my usual wish. Let tomorrow be better than today. And I blow, almost instantly smelling the pungent stream of smoke curling into the air from the extinguished wick. It's always the same wish, every candle, every time. I want a life I never want to take a vacation from. That's my goal. Except for the match I blew out of the theater. I made a different wish that night. When I open my eyes, I see Pike watching me. He quickly straightens and turns away. And as I leave the kitchen and head toward the stairs in the living room, I drop my magazine on the end table next to the couch. Now, someone lives here.
Chapter 3. Pike. I blink awake, my eyelids heavy and slow as the dim room comes into view. It's still dark. I don't normally wake up before 5:30. Why am I... No, wait. I grunt, opening my eyes a little wider and noticing the faint glow dancing across my bedroom wall. Raindrops. Ah, shit. It's not dark out, it's cloudy. I turn over onto my back and squint at the ceiling as I wait a moment and listen. And then, almost immediately, I hear it. The pitter-patter of little dings bouncing off the rain gutters outside. I let out a sigh. God damn it. Not good. I dig my palms into my eyes and rub away the sleep before I glance at the clock on my bedside table. 5:29. Yep, like clockwork. I stopped needing an alarm clock years ago, my body just getting used to waking up at the same time every day. I still set it, though, just in case. Reaching over, I feel for the switch on the side and nudge it over two spots, turning off the alarm before it goes off. The rain could really set us back today. I don't need to be at the site for another hour and a half, but half the guys will probably try to call in, thinking we won't be able to put in a full day anyway, so may as well stay in bed. Not gonna happen, though. We're working on something today, anything, because I don't feel like sidestepping my kid's bad mood and foul looks all day if I stick around the house. I'd rather be at work. When he was younger, it was different. He was mine. We did things together and talked, and he wanted to be around me. But now, she's gotten to him. My kid is the only hold anyone could ever have over me, and man, his mother knew how to use that. She pushed him around like a chess piece until he believed everything that came out of her mouth, and that she was the victim in every situation, and I was the enemy. She could do no wrong, and I could do no right. After a while, I just decided to be there for him. Eventually he'll wise up, and we'll get through this. He'll see through her lies, and I just need to hang on, no matter the patience it's going to take or the arguments in the meantime. At least Jordan is pretty great. She'll be a welcome buffer between us, even if I was knocked on my ass when I found out who she was. I close my eyes, resting the back of my hand over my eyes, and thinking back to that night. I had fun hanging out with her at the movie theater. Her comebacks, her humor, how easy it was to talk to her. The way she just relaxed next to me during the movie, and it was so fucking comfortable and natural. The way her smile felt on me. I wouldn't have asked her out, she was way too young, and I knew she had a boyfriend. but it was hard not to entertain the idea for a little while. She's cool. And then when I found out who she was, I was almost angry. I remember hearing her on that phone call and clenching my teeth so hard my jaw ached as realization hit. I was angry because in that moment I was jealous of my son. I was jealous of any guy who's 19 and gets a chance to be with her. Her flawless skin and pert nose. Her gorgeous bottom lip that I think she caught me staring at. The way she tipped her head back, put her feet up, and could just be next to me. Everything felt easy. But the girl in my dreams is off limits. She's Cole's, and she's 19. There's no way. She's a kid, and my brief, sordid thoughts will stay hidden in my head. My phone vibrates on the nightstand, and I reach over and grab it, looking at the screen. And I groan. Not now. But I swipe the green button anyway and close my eyes, holding the phone to my ear. A little early for you, isn't it? Lindsay, my ex, laughs softly, the sultry sound of her sexy voice, well honed by now. The woman is used to getting what she wants from anyone, almost anyone.
Not when you haven't been to bed, she taunts.
I keep my snicker to myself. Some women who become young mothers later feel as if they've missed out on their youth by jumping into parenthood so early. Lindsay Kenmont, mother of my child, didn't miss a damn thing. She didn't let being 9 months pregnant hold her back any more than she let Cole hold her back when he was a toddler.
How is he?
She asks. I throw off my covers and sit up, swinging my legs over the bed and yawning. Warm, fed, and safe. I rub my hand over my scalp. That's about all I know right now. But then I add, I'm surprised you're okay with this, by the way.
So that's why you offered to let them stay with you, because you didn't think it would actually happen?
She presses.
I'm fine with him staying with you. It's about time you took on some responsibility with him.
It's about time I... Jesus. I laugh under my breath and shake my head, standing up. You're not how I like to start my day, Lynn. You know that. Now what do you want? She's quiet for a moment, and then I hear her smooth voice return to its teasing tone.
Oh, you know what I want.
And despite the disdain I feel for her now, blood still rushes to my groin, much to my displeasure. We had some fun after all, back in the day. And my body remembers. Plus, I haven't been laid in a while. But I'm not desperate enough to be used. Not yet, anyway. So that's it. I tuck my phone between my shoulder and ear as I pull my jeans off the bench at the end of the bed and slide my legs in. You think I'm going to just be ready to go every time you break up with a guy, get drunk, and want to get laid?
Why not?
She shoots back.
No matter who comes into your life or walks out of mine, there was always one thing we did really well together, right?
Sure, Lindsay. I don't bother hiding the sarcasm from my tone.
Well, you're not seeing anyone, are you?
She inquiries, but she already knows I'm not.
And it's not like we haven't jumped into bed together over the years to blow off a little steam from time to time. I don't remember you ever not liking it.
Yeah, I let out a harsh sigh. It's called a lack of options. Small town and all.
Asshole.
I chuckle despite myself. I have to hand it to her. The woman can roll with any insult. The truth is, she's right. After the breakup, when Cole was 2, we still hooked up from time to time. But what I said is true as well. The sex was good. She still has a great body. And bed was the one place we never hated each other. But I only kept going back because it was easy. Every other woman in this town is someone's sister or daughter, and you can't just screw around with them without them expecting a ring at some point. And I wasn't ready for that. Not after the mess I found myself in becoming a father at 19. If I ever get another woman pregnant, it'll be my wife, and my wife is going to be someone I can't get enough of. And I do want more kids. I've always wanted more. But at 38, 2 years shy of 40... It's likely Cole will be my only kid now. I'm getting too old to start over again.
Come on, she prods. What have you got to lose? I know you remember. And I know you like everything you remember, Pike. That summer when I was 17, still the best memories of my life.
Yeah, but not everything that came after it.
You and me going at it under a blanket on the couch with my parents sleeping right upstairs.
She tells me, as if I don't remember.
I know you still have a very healthy appetite.
Heat rises to my skin and I pause.
So get over here and fuck me then, she says.
I hesitate for only a moment, but then I shake my head. It's tempting. My body wants it. And if I only admit it to myself, I am kind of fucking lonely when I slow down long enough to let myself feel it. There are so many mornings I hate waking up alone. But no, my pride is sick of taking a hit every time she thinks I'll be ready to go at her beck and call. Gotta get to work. I hang up the phone before I have a chance to think about it more, or worse, reconsider. I slide my cell into my back pocket and walk over to the dresser for a t-shirt. My phone buzzes again. She's fucking relentless. I grumble and pull it back out of my pocket. But this time I see Dutch's name on the screen. I answer it, holding it to my ear. What? It's raining. Really? No shit. I chuckle, pulling my shirt over my head. You're a genius. Look outside. I pause, every muscle instantly tightening. Damn it. By his tone, I know what I'm going to see. But I walk to the window anyway and pull open one of the curtains, peering out into the morning storm. Shit. The street outside is lined on both sides with rapids of rainwater, all racing for the storm drains, the whitewash crashing into the curb before sinking down into the sewers. The street itself is an orchestra of white noise, the drops bouncing off the ground or pummeling hoods of cars, the rain so thick I can barely see the houses across from me. I'm meeting the guys over at the shop, Dutch tells me. We'll load up tarps and sandbags and meet you at the site. I'll be there in 20, I say, and we both hang up. Grabbing some socks out of my drawer, I slip my phone back into my pocket and walk into the bathroom, doing a quick sweep with the toothbrush before I leave the room. I walk down the hall, past the empty bedroom, the main bathroom, and then a closed door, the other spare bedroom, quickly remembering it's no longer empty. But as I hit the top of the stairs, a sweet and heady scent hits my nose, making my skin buzz, and I stop to breathe in. A slight hunger pain hits my stomach and I flinch. The girl blew out a candle yesterday. Did she leave another one burning all night? We might have to have a talk. Not only is that unsafe, but I'm really not into this whole aromatherapy thing where your body is tricked into thinking there's blueberry muffins in the house when there's really not. I head down the staircase, the house creaking under my weight. But when I reach the bottom, I look around, noticing the living room lamps are on, and there's soft music coming from the kitchen. Stepping in, I spot Jordan sitting at the island in the dark. Her laptop is open in front of her as she warms her hands around a cup of coffee. I hesitate for a split second, taken aback by how different she looks at the moment. The light from the screen makes her eyes glimmer as the steam rises from the mug in front of her face. Then she purses her lips and blows, trying to cool the drink, while strands of her blonde hair fall around her face from the messy bun piled on top of her head. The narrow slope of her jaw, the long lashes, the soft point of her little nose, and my eyes drop before I can stop them and I take in her flawless, smooth, and tanned legs, visible because she's still wearing her sleep shorts. Heat stirs low in my stomach, and I turn away, digging in my eyebrows. They can't be the same age. My kid is a kid, and she's a kid too, I guess. It's just weird. Last time I met one of his girlfriends, the chick had braces. It's off-putting to think of him dating girls now that were my type back in the day. Morning, I say as I walk past her to the Keurig. I see her pop her head up out of the corner of my eye.
Oh, hey, morning.
Her voice is small and cracked,
and I hear the laptop close shut as I stick a K-cup in the machine and a metal travel mug under the spout. I look over my shoulder to see her quietly sliding off the stool and gathering up her computer and notebook. "You don't have to leave," I tell her. "I'm on my way out anyway." She gives a small, tight smile, but doesn't look at me as she tucks her things to her side and picks up her coffee again. "Have you been up a while?" I ask. "I'm a light sleeper." She finally raises her eyes and laughs at herself. "Thunderstorms are hard for me." I nod, understanding. The heat is the same way for me. The AC needs to be set at 65 degrees every night for me to be able to sleep. It's on the tip of my tongue to ask her if the temperature bothered her last night. But there's really no point. I need to sleep. I'm not changing it. And she knows where the extra blankets are if she needs some. We stand in silence for a moment, and then she finally blinks and gestures to the stove behind me. "There's some blueberry muffins, if you're hungry," she says. "They're just out of the box, but they're pretty good." I twist my head around, and sure enough, a muffin pan I don't own sits on top of the stove, each cup overflowing with a golden baked muffin. I reach over and grab one, hiding my smile. So no scented candles raising false hopes after all. I think I like her. She turns around and starts to leave the room, but I call out, "Do you think you could wake Cole up real quick, please? The rain really screws with my timetable at work and we're still setting the foundations, so I need help sandbagging today." She looks at me over her shoulder, curious.
"Foundations?"
"For the site I've been contracted to build," I clarify. "We can't work today with the weather, but we have to make sure the basement level doesn't flood. I could use Cole's help." Realization hits, and the confusion on her face vanishes.
"Oh, right. Sure."
She nods and quickly leaves the room, her footfalls hitting the stairs with purpose. If she hadn't already been up, I probably wouldn't have thought to ask Cole to come help, but the opportunity to go through her instead was too good. If I ask, it'll piss him off. If she asks, it might go over better. And besides, he knows this part of the agreement. He and Jordan clean up after themselves, help with the cooking, do the yard work, and help with anything else I might need. And all pay bills while they save up enough to get back on their feet. It's not too much to ask. I fix the lid on my travel mug and go through two more K-cups to fill my thermos before carrying both to the front door where my work boots sit. Sitting on the bench next to the door, I set my stuff down and pull on my shoes, grab my keys, and take my black rain pullover jacket out of the entryway closet, pulling it on. I pick up my mug and thermos. "Cole!" I shout, ready to leave. The ceiling above me creaks, and I hear quick steps. Then there's a thud before a door slams shut, and I can tell he's finally coming down the stairs. I grip the door handle and look over my shoulder. "I've got extra coffee. We can hit a drive-thru if you want something to eat real quick." But it's not him who comes around the corner. Jordan is dressed in tight, dark blue jeans rolled at the bottom with chucks, and she's pulling her hair up into a ponytail while trying to hold a yellow raincoat under her arm. I narrow my eyes on her. "Where's Cole?"
"He's, not feeling too well,"
she tells me, pulling her jacket on.
"I'll come and help you, though."
"Not feeling well. Code for hungover?" "No, that's okay," I tell her. "Stay here. It's safer. Thanks, though." Her eyes shoot up, focus on me, and then narrow.
"Safer?"
She questions like I just said I'm going out for a pedicure.
"Or are you just worried you'll spend more time holding my hand than getting any work done?"
I try to keep a straight face. She's pretty smart. "Okay, yeah, sorry, honey, but yes. At least Cole has some experience. A little, mind you, but some. Helping me during summers and weekends. I don't need to get sidetracked explaining directions instead of giving them today."
"Tell you what."
She buttons up her raincoat, her sweet, shy demeanor slowly being replaced with a squarer set to her shoulders.
"If the little lady can't handle some rain in her hair, or mud under her fingernails, then she'll go back into the truck and wait for you, where it's safe, okay?"
And then she arches an eyebrow at me like I shouldn't even go there. I don't even know how to respond anyway because my brain is now blank and I'm kind of forgetting why I have a thermos in my hand. I shake my head to clear it and yank the door open. Fine, get in the truck. This damn storm came out of nowhere. I always watch the weather because sometimes it determines if we can work at all that day, so it's kind of important, especially in the summer. I thought this one was missing us and swinging north, though. I shut off the engine and pull up the zipper of my jacket, squinting out the front windshield. The downpour is blurring everything beyond the glass. But I see a flash of orange and a yellow hard hat floating a few yards ahead, and know some of the guys are here already. Jordan pulls up her hood next to me. But I don't look at her, or instruct her on what to do. She can follow my lead if she wants to be here. I hop out of the truck, hard raindrops instantly pummeling the top of my head and shoulders, making me instinctively duck a little as I slam the door and jog for the building. My boots splash through small puddles, and I dash over to the bed of a company truck, immediately pulling down the tailgate and piling up as many sandbags as I can load into my arms. Bright yellow appears at my side, and without a word, Jordan does the same, quickly loading more bags into her arms and following me around the side of the building to where the guys are waiting. I drop the bags and glance through the steel frame of the structure, noticing the uncovered pallet of cement in the lower level. Son of a bitch! 9 men, including my best friend, stare at me, waiting for instructions. The wind blows the rain into the back of my jeans, soaking the material to my skin. I want these bags around the entire perimeter, I shout over the storm. 3 high. You got it? Quick nods follow. And get that cement covered, goddammit. I jerk my chin at the uncovered pallet getting ruined below. Rain or not, that always needs to be covered just in case and someone dropped the ball last shift. Dutch, my best friend since high school, casts his brown eyes next to me, his expression instantly softening. I glance over to see Jordan, her hair tucked into the hood of her raincoat, but thankfully she doesn't stick around to be introduced. Heading back to the truck, she pulls more sandbags out of the bed, and I turn back to Dutch, who eyes me curiously. I just shake my head. Not now. It's not weird my son's girlfriend wants to pay her way and be helpful, but it is weird that he's not here too. Does he know she took his place helping out this morning? What kind of man is okay with that? I taught him to fulfill his obligations, goddammit. Or maybe he just didn't want to come with me. I need to do something about him, but I don't know what. This whole waiting and seeing tactic isn't working. He needs a kick in the ass. The men get to work, carrying stacks of 3 bags and setting them along the sides of the building, while I grab my utility knife out of the toolbox in the truck and slice rectangles of blue tarp to staple around the first floor frame. Before I know it, an hour has passed. The tarps are up, the sandbags are doing their job, and aside from me, everyone has seemed to vanish. I toss my knife and staple gun back into the truck and slam the door, looking around the site for Jordan. I haven't seen her in a while. Regret starts to wind its way into my stomach. I should have given her some kind of direction out here. She probably doesn't know her way around. It's easy for people to get hurt if they aren't trained. Walking around the side, I see all the bags lined up as they should be, tarps still intact, even with the wind, and the pallet of cement nearly covered. I hear voices and trail around the back, instantly spotting Jordan helping carry window inserts to the trailer, one of the guys making sure they're covered as well. She's smiling. Like crazy. Like eyes gleaming with excitement and she's about to bounce on the balls of her feet for crying out loud. Is she having fun? Her hood has fallen down and her ponytail hangs drenched while strands of hair stick to her face. Her shoes are soaked. Her jeans are muddy. And thank Christ she's now wearing a white t-shirt because the raincoat is doing very little to keep the guy's eyes off her as it is. I look over at Dale, Brian and Donnie, who are carrying equipment to the trailer as they cast looks her way, smile, and then turn to each other laughing at something I can't hear. Hurry up! I bark at them, and they jerk to attention, carrying on. Jordan walks over to where I stand next to the building and squats down, tucking the tarp under a beam. So,
You're the boss then, huh?
She looks up at me inquisitively. Something about her expression seems softer than it did earlier this morning. Happier. More at ease. Didn't Cole tell her I own a construction company? Does he talk about me at all? Hurt winds its way through my gut.
Well, he tries to be.
Dutch jokes, answering her question. I throw him a look, but I'm tempted to smile. Bantering is our thing, but I wish the asshole wouldn't do it at work. It undermines me, damn it.
Shit!
Jordan suddenly exclaims. I jerk my eyes back to her and see rainwater crashing down on her head like a waterfall. The tarp has torn away at the bottom of the frame and spilled all the water it had collected in its crevice. She pops up, escaping from the downpour, and reaches, trying to put it back in place. But she can't reach it. Coming up behind her, I reach in front of her and grab it, holding it in place as I turn my head and jerk my chin at Dutch. He nods and walks off to retrieve the staple gun again. Jordan lets go of the tarp and slides out from between my arms, stepping to the side and chuckling to herself.
Are you okay?
I ask. She nods, wiping off her face and shaking out her jacket.
Yeah. I guess the raincoat was useless though, huh?
I drop my eyes to her shirt, seeing the soaked navy blue tee sticking to her body, tight and molded to every inch of her chest and stomach. A sliver of her hips and tummy peek out just below where the shirt is pasted to her. Her skin is flawless, her curves beautiful. I swallow the lump in my throat and turn quickly away. She definitely has a body I don't remember 19-year-olds having when I was that age. But she is still only 19. And she's Cole's, not mine. Don't check her out again. Dutch comes up and hands me the staple gun and I start refastening the tarp. She steps back up under my outstretched arms, placing her hands underneath mine and inching in to take over holding it while I staple. Something warm courses under my skin, but I shake it off.
Do I, need to get you home?
I ask. Don't you have class or anything today?
Summer schedule, she replies, glancing up at me. I only have one class this term, but it's not until tomorrow. I do have to work at the bar later, though.
I wonder how she gets back and forth to work, or school for that matter, since Cole starts his day at 10 and doesn't get off work until 6. She has no working vehicle, which reminds me. I'll grab a few tools before I leave here that I don't have at home. Maybe I can help Cole work on her VW today. After about another hour, everything is as tight as we can make it. The equipment is secured and put away, and everyone is soaked to the bone. I let the guys take off. I hate losing time, but summers are rainy, and we've done what we can. Hell, not even half of them showed up anyway. I climb back into the truck with Jordan and pull off my wet jacket, while she fastens her seatbelt next to me. I start the engine and wait for the lot to clear a little before finally pulling out, both of us riding in silence. It's so quiet all of a sudden, and I realize that the rain had been so constant for the last few hours that I hadn't been able to hear a voice unless it was shouted, or a movement unless it was my own. Now my ears instinctively search for anything to grab onto. The rain hitting my truck like rubber bullets, the grind of the leather on the steering wheel in my fist, the slosh of the rain under the tires as I charge down the highway, my engine rumbling like a lullaby. But still, it's so quiet. She draws in a deep breath through her nose. Her raincoat squeaks as she slides her hands underneath her thighs. I hear a soft clicking sound and dart my eyes to the floor where she's gently tapping her chucks together. She licks her lips, and I fucking wince. Jesus. Reaching over, I turn on the radio. Anything to distract. I don't know why I'm so irritable today. No, I know. I woke up to Lindsay on the phone. She's the last person I want to deal with first thing in the morning. It isn't hard to miss how happy I was at Cole and Jordan's age, having fun with whatever I could get my hands on and not forcing myself to think too hard about any decisions I was making. But not long after I met Lindsay, the bill for all that fun came due. I made a kid with a girl I barely knew, a pathological liar, and someone who manipulates like it's a fucking sport. And when I left him with her. Cole never had a chance. I took her to court, of course, trying to get custody, but judges back then often saw the mother as the better option, and she knew how to solicit sympathy. She wanted Cole because Cole meant child support, and she certainly got that out of me. It was like being in prison, having to take him back to her after my weekends with him. She twists things into knots, and that's what she did to him. By the time he was 10, he was putting himself in front of her if I needed to say things to her, and I was always in the wrong. By the time he was 14, he stopped wanting to visit every other weekend, and now we barely know each other. He won't even call unless he needs money. I shake my head, clearing it. Want to put in a tape? I suggest to Jordan. I don't meet her eyes, but I can see her head snap in my direction.
A tape? Like a cassette tape?
Her gaze suddenly flashes to my car stereo, and her eyes go wide, surprise lighting up her face. I almost laugh. She didn't notice it on the drive here.
Is that an actual tape deck? She blurts out.
She reaches out and touches the old car radio like it's a precious vase and pushes eject. Out pops a clear cassette tape with white lettering that I've never listened to. She removes it, cupping it in her hand and reading the title. Guns and Roses. Her hand goes to her mouth, looking like she's about to fucking cry. Oh, my God. Darting for the glove compartment, she opens it and stares at the line of tapes neatly set up.
Deep Purple, she reads. Rolling Stones, Bruce Springsteen, John Mellencamp, ZZ Top.
Then she seems to spot something that really excites her, because she reaches in and plucks out the black Def Leppard case.
Hysteria?
She exclaims, reading the album title.
They don't make that album anymore. All you can get is the live version.
I raise my eyebrows, not sure why this is all so exciting. I'll take your word for it, I say, a little amused at her excitement. This truck was my father's. Those are his tapes. I just never got around to clearing them out after he passed away a few years ago. It occurs to me that she's the first one to touch the Guns N' Roses tape since he put it in the player. She looks back at the collection.
Well, that's good, I guess, she mumbles. You clearly don't know what you have here, and these would have wound up in the bottom of a trash can, for Christ's sake. Your dad was a cool guy.
I smile, agreeing. She carefully places the Guns tape back in its case and removes the Def Leppard tape.
May I?
She asks, gesturing to the tape deck. I laugh under my breath and shift into higher gear as we charge down the road. Go for it. We listen to two songs on the way home, entering town and taking a shortcut past the railroad bridge on the river to our right.
Wow, look at that, she says.
I slow the truck and follow her gaze to the right, out her passenger side window, and see the river has risen considerably. Instead of the normal 20 feet of clearance between the bridge and the water now rushes like a threat just below the bottom of the bridge. Thankfully, the rain has slowed, so it shouldn't get any higher. I step on the gas again, taking us home.
That was fun, she said. Today, I mean.
I raise my eyebrows and glance at her.
I mean,
she blinks, correcting herself. I don't mean it was fun, I mean, I hope you didn't get set behind or lose any money, but... She inhales and exhales, turning her eyes back out her window.
A couple times, I nearly felt like my life was almost in danger.
She sounds entirely too pleased about that, too, and I can tell by her tone that she's smiling. And that's fun? I question. She turns her eyes back out the front windshield and shrugs, amusement pulling at the corner of her mouth. I chuckle. Yeah, it was fun. Thanks for helping. I'll be sure to let you know when the next storm's about to roll in so you can get in on the action.
Cool.
I continue driving down the highway and into our quiet town, turning left and then a sharp right into my neighborhood, content for the first time today. She's a good kid. I hope Cole doesn't screw it up because I can already tell this is the kind of girl who would make a good mother and work by your side, building a life instead of draining you dry. And for some reason, it pleases me that she enjoyed herself today. No one in my family ever took much interest or pride in what I do for a living. My mother loves me, of course, as did my dad before he died. But they pushed so hard for me to go to college, and that was the plan until Cole came along.